اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. والله I've come again, baggage full of sins, I've brought shufa'a Imam al-Husayn, Fatimah al-Zahra, the Ahlul Bayt. Allah, forgive me, forgive me. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us benefit from the remainder of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah through worships, remembrances, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshallah we can benefit from the 10 first nights of Dhul-Hajjah as well, in the various ways that are available to us. Inshallah He takes our hand and He cures the illnesses of our hearts, rids us of the darkness that we're in, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasa'at kulla shay'in وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن تزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك
لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاؤك وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزع أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد ما انطوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقا وبشكرك مادحا وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا. ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك وهبني يا إلهي صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا ربه أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها هيهات ما ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما وما كانت لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما لكنك تقدست أسماؤك أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين وأن تجل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون إلهي وسيدي فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته كتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفر أو خطأ تستر يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيتي يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة وبخدمتك موصولة وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من علي معولي يا من إلي شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرده ومن كادني فكيده واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك واعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غنى ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام يا عالما لا يعلم صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله ولا تفعل بنا ما نحن أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم صل على محمد. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
It's Thursday night and special night of Ziyara of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and remembering him and trying to shed some tears, we ask Allah to give us those tears and connect our hearts with our Mawla, with our Master, Imam al-Hussein.
Sallallahu alayka ya mazloom, ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Hussein. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ruhi fidaka ya Mawlai. I wish we were there in Karbala, ya Aba Abdullah, to be able to protect you, if not with anything, then with my body, to get between you and the arrows that were shot towards you. Ya Mawlai, Ruhi fidaka ya Mawlai. I don't know what those last few minutes of Imam al-Hussein's life were like. I don't know what Zainab salamullahi alayha was witnessing after she arrived at Tell al-Zainabiyya. Ya Aba Abdullah, what had you done that these people circled around you while there's barely any life left in you, cheering and throwing whatever they have at you? Ya Mawla, ya Aba Abdullah, I wish I could have been there to cover you so the stones would be hitting me, the arrows and swords and spears would be poking me. Ya Mawlai, ruhi fidak. Ya Allah, we ask you by the right of that Imam, by the right of Imam al-Hujja, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, don't ever allow us to move in that direction. These were Muslimun, people who believed in the grandfather of Imam al-Hussein. It didn't happen overnight. Over time it happened. They gradually drifted away. Now 50 years after the demise of the Prophet, they're cheering to kill the grandson of the Prophet. whom the Holy Prophet said he is the master of the youth of paradise. Ya Allah, we ask you by the rights of the Imam of our time to allow us to be of his true and close companions, inshaAllah. Bin Nabi wa Alihi rahimahullah man qara al-Fatihata ma'a salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه. One of the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran is the story of the 40 nights that Prophet Musa, ala nabina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, spent with his Lord, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left. This is after Banu Israel being saved from the Pharaoh and leaving Egypt, where the Prophet was told to come and have this session. Different aspects of this period, this short 40-night period of time, have been mentioned in the Quran. One of the things about it is that this is the same period of time that Banu Israel went astray from Tawheed to Shirk, from worshipping the one God and seeing all the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the signs, the ayat of Allah, so many of them, going to worshipping a calf that was man-made by the hands of Samiri. That's one aspect, and what happens when the Prophet returns, all of those are interesting aspects, and they all need and require time to think and ponder. But one of the things that's mentioned, it's been mentioned a few times in different ways in the Holy Quran, is the 40-night period that Musa ala nabina wa alihi wa alayhi salam spent worshipping and hearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to him. One of the things about this, in one instance in the Holy Quran, it talks about this as being 40 nights. The other instance that we're told to do and to read that verse in the prayer that we're supposed to do in the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hajjah, it doesn't say 40 nights. It says, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Initially, the time that was given to Musa was 30 nights. In fact, that's one of the reasons why Banu Israel went astray was this. Musa told them, I'm going to be gone for 30 nights. So they expected on the 31st day for Musa to be back, but he didn't return. After he went for 30 nights, he worshipped for 30 nights, أَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Allah says, we completed the 40 nights with another 10 nights. Initially, he was only told 1 month. The month of Ramadan is a month.
30 nights of worship, 30 nights of speaking to Allah, 30 nights of hearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what he was promised. That's what he was told. Right, the timing that he took from his people and he told his people and he informed his people is 30 nights. God knew it's going to be 40 nights, but he didn't tell Musa it's going to be 40 nights. He told Musa 30 nights. Musa came prepared for 30 nights. 30 nights is coming to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, stay another 10 nights. أَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِيقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. The miqat, that appointment with Allah, that time he spent with the Lord, it completed in being 40 nights. There's a lot to discuss in regards to this. One of the questions that is worthy of thought and reflection is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in that way? And that itself has got different aspects. Why did he say that to Musa in that way? That's one thing. Musa in turn told his people it's only 30 nights. I mean, he did say it's only 30 nights. That's not what God told him either. It's only 30 nights. But when you say it's 30 nights, you kind of get the idea that it's only 30 nights. It's not 31 or 32 or any more nights. It's only 30 nights. So he told his people he's going to be gone for 30 nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when he doesn't return, what's going to happen in that the extra 10 days, 10 nights and days, obviously, that Musa is gone. This whole shift occurs pretty much during that time. That's the period that really makes it happen and makes all that deviation occur. Couldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have just said from the beginning, it's 40 days, and then next day he comes? That's one aspect of it. And then Musa himself, why wasn't he told, okay, just don't tell the people, I'm going to be gone. How much? None of your business. Just wait for me to get back. Okay, it's none of your business. Why was Musa himself, regardless of, forget about the people and what happened with them, how? Why was Musa told 30 nights and then 10 nights were added? Why does God do that? It's a general question. If you follow that trend, if you follow that question, you'll see that repeats itself. It's not one time. I think I've mentioned this before. In the Quran, this particular wording isn't there. I heard it from one of the ulama and come from hadith. I haven't seen the hadith myself, but that particular scholar, there is some reference that he's referring to. I just haven't seen it. He's a scholar, he's not a speaker. Very well established, very knowledgeable scholar with a lot of reading into numerous hadith books and tafsir books and so on and so forth. About Prophet Nuh, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salam. Nuh propagated and spoke to his people for 950 years. Alf am illa khamsina, or 1,000 years except for 50. In other words, 950 years. He propagated, he preached, he spoke to his people, they rejected 950 years. It doesn't share any further details. Obviously, the people of Nuh, the people he was with, they didn't treat him well. It wasn't just like, okay, we don't believe you. No, they said all kinds of things to him. And they did all kinds of things to him. You get tired, you know, you get tired. His obligation was to help these people, guide these people. He was doing that. The response was their response, not only not accepting, but hurting him in so many different ways. And anyone who accepts him, there's only a few people that were with him. This part of it, God tells him, don't worry, keep going at it. And then at a point he says, okay, I'm going to punish them. You need to build an ark. Like, how do I do this? Plant this tree. You got to fill the 950 years.
plant one tree, the tree starts. You can just imagine that tree growing. How long I have planted a few herbs in my patio in a little box, and I keep checking every day. That little basil is growing only that much after 2 weeks. This is a tree, okay? It's not an herb. Herbs grow faster than trees. The tree takes ages. This one tree grows and it reaches its prime condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, cut this off. He says, you plant this after it grows, you cut it off, then I will punish them. First tree cuts it off, like, okay, the next one. He does the next one. I don't know how many trees he had to plant to get to a point where he had enough wood for the ark. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, after this, I will do it. Then after that, it is after it. All the punishment came after all those trees, so it is after the first, and it is after the second. There's no lie there. Okay, there's nothing. God, what He speaks, what He says is true. But there's a reason why He puts it out this way. This is another example. He's told, why did God tell Nuh, it's after this one? Yes, it's after it, but it's after a whole lot more than just that first one. Why does God do that? That's something to think about and to understand. And the reason why it's required for us to understand is that if we are to ascend towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is part of the training. It's not just these two prophets we mentioned. These are prophets, their stories are mentioned in the Quran. Some of the details we shared are not mentioned in the Holy Quran, like regarding Prophet Nuh, but generally there are other prophets. We have other ways of the same idea, pretty much, more or less. Prophet Yunus, for example. Prophet Ya'qub in one way. Prophet Yusuf in a different way. This idea, for example, Prophet Yusuf, while he was a child, now this one doesn't involve timing, but it, in a sense, it's connected with the same idea. Prophet Yusuf, as a child, was shown something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a dream. He saw the sun and the moon, and أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا, 11 stars, okay, prostrating to him. The sun, the moon, 11 stars prostrating to him. As a child, before his brothers did anything to him, this is shown to him. Then he's thrown in that those difficult tests, and after a lifetime of being away from his father and from his siblings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns them, or a scene is set up. They all prostrate to him. He says to his father, remember I told you that dream as a child? This is the interpretation of the dream. Why did God tell him that way back then? Okay. If it's something that's going to be happening so far in the future. These are teachings that are in the Quran, and they're there for a reason. We've got to tap into that. We've got to look into that. We've got to think about this. Study those stories. Allow those stories to penetrate our mind, and for them to be there at the right time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants to test us, then some of those teachings will start resonating, and we'll start remembering and being reminded of, oh, this is Allah's teaching in regards to this scenario, this condition. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teaching. If He blesses us and He takes us closer to Him, all of these stories and all of these teachings are going to become important to us. And the reason why they're there in the Quran is because we are intended to reach those levels, and we need to want that. And if we want that, we're going to move towards that. That was a little too much time on sidetracking. The part of the story of the 40 nights that I wanted to discuss a little more, which I'll have to cut it short now, is not the promise of the 30 nights and 40 nights, although that is important in itself. But the idea of, during this time, Prophet Musa worshipping, doing munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah speaking to him. This is a prophet he's been someone that has been, as the Quran says, لَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, when he reached adulthood. I guess that's the best equivalent I can think of. لَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَحُكْمًا, if I remember correctly. It's mentioned a couple of instances. I think one of them is in Surah Taha or Qasas. When he reached adulthood, which is pretty young, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him prophethood. He became a prophet, a Nabi, not a Rasul yet. Risala came later on his way back to Egypt. But at a young age, while he's still in Egypt, before he leaves it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him. So God has given him knowledge. God has made him a Nabi. He's given him hukm. Hukm is nubuwa. It's more than, if you look at the stories of Yahya and Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhim as-salam, it also has this. They were in the cradle, they were just born, if I remember correctly regarding Jesus. But atayna hukman, hukm. Hukm is prophethood. Musa was given prophethood, not just divine knowledge. Divine knowledge and prophethood are not correlated necessarily. People like Khidr, they have divine knowledge, but they're not prophets. The companion of Sulaiman is not a prophet, but the Quran says, "Man kana indahu ilman min al-kitab." Okay. There is some of the knowledge of the book, which is a divine creation, he calls a book. This is divine knowledge. He has divine knowledge, a little bit of it, somewhat of it, but he has it, but he's not a prophet. Hukma, he's been made a Nabi. Yet, after all this time, going to, leaving Egypt, the tests beginning, going to Mada'in, and going through that training for 10 years, on the way back, seeing the flames, going to it, being given risala, he becomes a prophet in the sense of risala. He has a mission now to guide and to save people. He goes back to Egypt, all those signs, all those ayat. He goes through all of that, leaving Egypt with Banu Israel. After all that time, that there's more to it. I'm leaving out some details about what happens. He goes to the mountain and he has this session with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at this point, it is said, the verse we have in Surah Al-A'raf, apparently it's regarding this time. قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Show me in a way that I'm looking at you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you can't see me. Look at the mountain. I will manifest in it. If it remains, when I manifest, then you can see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ. When Allah manifested on the mountain, it turned into dust. It exploded. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. And Musa fell unconscious. When he was conscious again, he repented and so on and so forth. That part is not the point here. After all this time, he reaches a certain maturity in terms of his development, that now he addresses Allah and he asks for something that lofty. This is not, we can't even understand what the request is. Okay, we can't get a good understanding of what the request is. Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. O Allah, make me such that I'm looking at you. There's a want to be that close and experience the divine, feel the divine in a way where you're seeing him. Again, none of these words are really descriptive. The best wording is what's in the Quran, but we have deficiency in understanding even that wording. We don't get it. Musa reaches a level where he asks this from Allah. He didn't ask before this time. He didn't. He's a prophet. He's a Nabi. He's given hukm. The understanding to ask this comes at this point, after all of that development. Why are we mentioning this? There's, I think, a lot that if we think about it that we can take, but the reason why I mention this is the following. One of the things that happens in to us when we're trying to develop ourselves, we hear all this stuff, we hear about Urafa, we read the stories of prophets, we want to get closer, we want to do, and we hear there's so much out there, there's things to experience. And you're supposed to see things and experience things if you're moving in that direction. We're told that. So we hear all of that. We want it. We start taking steps, try to figure out how this is done, try to move in that direction. And we just don't see anything happening. We don't get any of it. Well, I don't know. Maybe you guys do. I don't get any of these experiences. One of the things to learn from these stories is that it takes time. If for a prophet that has, his birth was miraculous, his mother was a person that God spoke to her, okay, his father was a great person, his birth was miraculous, him being raised in the house of the Pharaoh was miraculous, him being a prophet, he has all of that. It takes that long to get to a point where he even asks for that, and Allah gives him whatever that response is. Because again, we don't understand the request, much less whatever the rest is. I mean, Mufassirin have, Allama Tabatabai has explained some stuff, but we need to realize our deficiency. It's really not something that we can wrap our heads around. If it takes that long for such a person to get to that, we shouldn't lose hope. This is the thing. We lose hope. When we don't see those things, we lose hope, or we lose direction. We want to hasten it. We want to rush it. We want to hurry. We want to get to it. And so we don't see what we hear from the proper sources about what the direction is. It seems to be a very slow process. We want it. Then somebody comes and tells us, if you do this, you'll get these results. We'll start listening. We'll start going astray. We'll start doing things that are not right. Why? Because we got frustrated with not seeing these results in the time that we think or expect we should receive it. We either lose hope and say, forget about it, I don't even care, I don't even want to get there. Or if I want it, I'm hasty, I'm rushing it. And that causes me to start looking for other things instead of the straight path, which is very simple. Look, the path towards Allah is not something which has been hidden in some secret book. The Quran has been given for that. It's doing what God said to do. أَنِعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Very clear cut. And what he has said to do are the ahkam. That's the basics that we start with. Ahkam, learn your wajibat, do your muharramat. But I've been doing that for years. I'm failing at it. I can't get past it. Well, that's just how the system works. There is no shortcuts. You can't rush it. You don't decide when you move up the ranks. You do your share. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide when He's going to give you what, when He's going to elevate you, where you can. This Prophet Musa, he loved so much. Sana'atuka li nafsi, in, I think it's in Surah Taha, or I could be wrong, maybe it's another chapter. Istana'tuka li nafsi, if I get the wording right. It means that I made you for myself. I mean, this wording is spectacular. This is beyond imagination. What God is telling all creation are gods. I made you for myself. This is very, this same prophet that God says, I made you for myself, God made it take that long. He could have made it earlier. He could have given it to him earlier. No, there's a time for it. There's a time for it. We're not as favored to Allah as He is don't rush it. Don't think that, oh, no, just do what he says. When he's going to give you things, that's his doing. It's not you and I's doing. We don't worry about that. We worry about what our taklif is now. Try to figure out, understand what God wants us to do. That's ibadah. Keep going at it. When he's going to open the gates of the heaven to show you the ayat of the unseen, whatever level of it, that is up to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, take our hands and get us there, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, to hasten the return of the Imam and to allow us and to make us true and close companions of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, our mawsar, our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask him to relieve all of us of the difficulties of this illness by providing us, the believers, with a cure that they will share with all the people of the world, inshallah, and to allow us to congregate again and to come together to worship him. Ya Allah, you like congregations of prayer. We ask you by the right of your wali that you grant us the tawfiq to be able to perform congregational prayers. Eid prayer, Eid al-Adha is approaching. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq of performing Salatul Eid for Eid al-Fitr was taken from us. We ask him to grant us the tawfiq to be able to perform the Salatul Eid for Eid al-Adha and other daily congregational prayers, inshallah. And let's all pledge and ask him that if he grants us and he grants us the relief or the cure and relieves us of this hardship, that we will worship him and we will use that as an opportunity to do things that we were not performing during this time or even before it. We will be more involved in those, inshallah. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa Alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.